Psalm 107, I'm actually not going to read just a text, but something that is reoccurring, starting in verse 6. It reoccurs several times in this psalm, but I kind of want to use that as a text, and then we'll go from there. The Bible says in Psalm 107, 6, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." And you'll find that four different occasions that it mentions that same phrasing in Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a wonderful psalm, specifically the first two verses, and that's what a lot of preachers like to preach on, because it's all positive. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever." And here's one of their favorites, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And they like to stop right there because that's good stuff right there, isn't it? And that shows you who this psalm is written to. It's written to the redeemed. And so he says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Thank you. I was waiting for some Bible readers there. Yeah, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So he tells us that we should speak up whenever we think about how good God has been to us. And when you think about how good he's been and all the blessings that has bestowed on you, friend, if you don't even know the Lord as your Savior tonight, he has still been good to you. He has sure been good to you. But only those of us that are redeemed from the hand of the enemy can surely praise God like he rightfully deserves. Because we know what it means to be free. We know what it means to be enslaved in bondage when he came by. And because of his precious blood, we're not redeemed, the Bible says, with silver or gold, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he says, say so. Say something about it when you think about being redeemed from the hand of the enemy. As a lot of you know, I won't go into a lot of detail because it's, you know, you really don't care about my past life, but you all know I don't like dogs very much. Can we just say that? It's not that I don't like them, it's just I'm scared of them. And when I was really tiny, I got jumped on one. It was actually Nolan Dave Richards' dog. And when we lived on Little Egypt, and a big Irish setter jumped on me, and I've been kind of scared of him ever since. Now, I will say this, I'm getting a lot better. We've got a dog now, and she's a little over a year old. Her name's Maggie, and we love her. She still thinks she's a puppy, although she weighs about 60 pounds. And so she's a pretty good dog. You know why? Because I don't mess with her. And so it's my family's dog. But anyway, she loves to jump. She loves to, you know, which is, I'm getting used to that. I'm doing a lot better. I promise you that. But it's so funny because every time I come home, we have her out on the porch, and we've got just this little like gate, this little barrier that we use, and we put it on the openings of the porch. And she can look over that. You know what? She could jump over it, but she thinks she's trapped. She don't know within herself that at any point in time, she could jump over that with no problem whatsoever. In fact, we don't even have it locked because she thinks once we put those barriers up, she thinks she's trapped and she can't get out. I wonder how many of you tonight feel like you're trapped by the enemy. Trapped. Trapped. The rest of this psalm goes into detail about people that were trapped. He says, "I want you to give thanks for the Lord. His mercy endureth forever, and he's redeemed us, so let the redeemed of the Lord say so." But then he goes into specific detail about what he did for people that were trapped. Four different kinds of people in this psalm I want you to notice tonight and how they were trapped. And how God was able to deliver them. Verses 4 through 8 tells us people that were trapped because of direction. They were looking for direction and they felt trapped. I don't know if you've ever in your life felt as though you were suffocating because you didn't know which way to go. Verse 4 says they wandered in the wilderness, in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He said there was a group of people that he's talking about that was wandering around. They weren't wandering around with some great, in some great forest or in some great place where they could find refreshment. No, it was even worse than that. They were wandering around. They were lost, but they were wandering around lost in a deserted place. They were in solitary confinement, so to speak, out in the wide open because they were without direction. They did not know which way to go. And I don't know if you've ever been that way in your spiritual life tonight, but I have been there looking for direction, looking for a place to go, wondering, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Lord, I'm willing to go, but where do you want me to go? And I'm telling you what, sometimes we feel as though we are trapped because we don't know which direction the Lord wants for us. Sometimes we feel the trapped because the directions are this way. Maybe it's a direction we don't want to go, or maybe it's a direction we hadn't thought about, or maybe we're just waiting on answers and we haven't got them, and we're sitting there waiting on God. And maybe you've never felt that way before, but waiting on God, sometimes you feel trapped. Before service tonight, Pastor, myself, and some other preachers in my family, we went over to my mom and dad's. And my sister felt led to bring his pastors of the churches they attend and go anoint him. My dad hasn't been feeling well the last couple of weeks, and he continues to get worse. And we just don't know. Dad feels trapped because he don't know the answers. And Dad, you all know him, he's always had the answers. Even if they were wrong, he still had answers. And so he feels trapped. He said, I'm in the hands of God. I'm in his will. He said, I've never been worried about resting in the arms of Jesus, but I want answers. And you may have been there in your life before. You may have been looking for direction, especially young people tonight. In your life, you're looking for direction. You're looking for places to go. And you wonder, Lord, what am I going to do with my life? What career am I going to go into? What college am I going to go into? What relationships am I going to go into? And if you don't know the answers, if you don't know which way to go, my friend, you'll feel trapped. And don't ever think that the world can point you in the right direction. Because the world will always steer you the wrong way. This is a funny illustration, but it'll paint the picture of my point. A few years ago, whenever GPS systems were first coming out, TomTom, remember TomTom? Had a little square, I had a TomTom. I was so proud of that thing. Me and Cal Ray and Bob, we were headed down to Pikeville, Kentucky. Remember that, Bob? And so I was like, you know what? I know where we're going. Paintsville's where we're going. Paintsville. And I said, I'm just going to plug this GPS in. I'm going to plug the address in there of the church. And it's going to lead us right to it. I know where it's at. But it'd just be cool to follow the directions and see which way it takes us. So we put in the fastest way and the destination, you know, 2 hours or so to where we were going. So we left Bob's house. We picked him up, headed on down. Reading, writing, Route 23, right? So we was heading down 23. Bob was going back through all of his memories about the family down there. There's where they're buried. There's where this one's buried. I'm kidding, Bob. No, anyway, we was having a good old time. And the GPS told me to go this way. So I went that way. Kyrie says, boy, this don't look right. And I was like, you know what? It don't either, he said, but maybe they've got something. You know, these newfangled technology, they may take us around another way I never thought about. And finally, we're arriving closer and closer. We don't see a church. And all of a sudden, it says, you have arrived at your destination. And it was somebody's house. It was a driveway in Van Wert, Kentucky. Nowhere near Paintsville, Kentucky. Thank God we left plenty early, and we made a backtrack, got to the church and said, hey, we tried this awesome TomTom, and it led us the wrong direction. And the pastor said, oh yeah, that's our treasurer's address. So you went to our treasurer's home. As good as technology is, it led me the wrong way. and as good as all the directions that the world can give, my friend, there's only one place you need to place your trust in, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never lead you astray. Feel trapped because of direction. Then verses 10 through 15, it talks about people that are in darkness. They're trapped in darkness. And it goes actually specifically to say why they're in darkness. Because they are in rebellion to God. And because of their sin, they are in darkness. In fact, it paints a picture as if a man is trapped in bondage. They are in prison waiting to die because they feel there is no way out of their darkness. And they feel trapped because of their rebellion to God and because of their sin. And my friend, tonight, you may not know the Lord as your personal Savior, and you may not see it, but you're living behind bars that you cannot see. You're in the prison of sin. Satan has got you bound. And you may be in a point tonight where you need to call out upon the name of the Lord. So, and I've changed my prayer over the past few years. I don't pray, Lord, save them. I pray, Lord, get them lost. Help them to realize they need you. It's because people are doing so well nowadays that they aren't broken down. And the Bible says he will save and he will hear those that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. And my friend, until you are lost and know that you are in bondage, you'll never be delivered. But I'm thankful tonight. If you're in darkness of sin, thank God he's still the light of the world. You may be trapped in darkness. You may be trapped in verses 16 through 21 because of your deeds. Your deeds. Verses 16 through 21, verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. What he is saying? He is saying here, because of their evil deeds, they are entrapped. They are in bondage because of their own doing. And I am sick to death of people not taking responsibility for the mess that they're in. They want to blame it on their parents or grandparents that's already passed away. They want to blame it on somebody else down several years prior to them. They want to blame it on society. They want to blame it on whoever's in the Oval Office. They want to blame it on the community. They want to blame it on the church. They want to blame it on the pastor. Whenever they need to realize, look in the mirror. It's your responsibility. You got yourself in it. But thank God you can get out if you want to get out. And you're trapped because of your own deeds. Amen. How many times do we warn you from this word about the direction and the temptation that Satan will lead you? Young people, we try to tell you weekly, and try to tell you middle-aged and older ones alike, there are dangers in there. There are traps that are set by Satan. Watch out for them. We would rather prevent you from getting into that than to get you out of jail. I'm telling you, friend, listen to what the Word of God says. Don't fall into that trap of your deeds that will send you to hell. Trapped because of your deeds. And then I want you to notice in verses 23 through 31, trapped because of the depths of the waters. This is a picture of being overwhelmed. Verses 23, it says, they that go down to sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. It's a picture of a boat out on the sea that the storm has come, and the storm is rocking the ship in so much that those that see it may be in awe of how much power is in the waves and in the storm. And the ship will rise to the height of the wave, but then immediately drop back down. And I don't know if you've ever been out in a storm in a boat, especially the ocean, but you stagger around like a drunk man. It's hard to get your feet. It's hard to get your stability. And he was painting a picture of someone that is overwhelmed because the depths of this world have got him trapped. Maybe you've never felt overwhelmed, but I know I sure have. And when you begin to think about all the things in your life, especially those that are unsaved in your family, the things you have to do on a daily basis, and when you start thinking about things that need to be done, you can so much worry about tomorrow that you can't enjoy today and what God has given you because you're simply overwhelmed. And my friend, it'll trap you. It'll trap you. Trapped because of depths, trapped because of your deeds, trapped because of darkness, trapped because of direction. I gave you all that introduction to tell you a story. As I said, I was in revival at Union Hill, and a young lady gave a testimony. And I took pastor's advice from this morning. I jotted it down. Amen. We've been in revival services before that when someone will testify, we'll play rock, paper, scissors right there in the pew, whoever's going to get to tell the illustration. I'm kidding. We don't do that. I always give it to him because he, you know, I prefer my elders. It's okay, laugh, guys. Come on. He knows I love him. So she told this story about they just got back from a vacation and they went swimming with the dolphins. And she said, we just happened to have a marine biologist on board with us. And she began to unfold what this marine biologist was telling them. And immediately my spiritual radar went up. And I began to jot some things down and did the last few days have done some research on my own to make sure. Because, you know, people, evangelists will do the same thing. The fish just keeps getting bigger. You know what I mean? We don't mean to. It just happens. But she was telling us about these dolphins. Dolphins have different ways to feed. But one particular way, it's called a mud net. And there are videos out there of them doing it, but it just happened recently because it's very hard to catch them doing this mud net. In fact, National Geographic said the first time they was able to catch it, able to observe it, was in 1999, just that recently. A mud net. And it starts out with a pack of dolphins, but one of those dolphins will break away from the pack. And they'll begin to circle, to make a huge circle around a bunch of bait fish. And then they'll take their tail and they'll smack it on the water. And most of the time it's in very shallow water where this happens. And so all on the outside, these dolphins are waiting. And the one dolphin is making continuous circles and smacking its tail in the water. And what that does, it creates a plume of mud that comes from the silt and the sand at the bottom of the ocean in that shallow water. And it makes a circle of mud. And they call that a mud net. And what that mud net does, it paralyzes the bait fish. And they think they're trapped. Because of their poor visibility, they can't see through the mud. So you know what they'll do? They'll start jumping out of the water. They'll start going crazy because they don't know where they're at. They don't know which direction to go. And that mud net has created a false barrier to get the bait fish to think that they are trapped when all they have to do is just swim out of it. But they can't because they're paralyzed by fear. They think they're trapped. So they start jumping up. They start jumping on the water. They're froze. And so when they start acting that way, then all the dolphins that were waiting on the outside just start to move inside that mud net and they have what they call a feeding frenzy. In fact, the dolphins have it so easy that all they got to do is stick their head up out of the water and open their mouth, and the fish will jump in their mouth. Because the fish feel like they are trapped. Tonight I am talking to some people, and this may not even apply to you tonight, but I feel there are people in here tonight that Satan has swam around you and created a mud net spiritually, and you feel that you can't get out of it. You feel like you're trapped. You're paralyzed with fear. You're in chaos because you think there's no way out of this predicament that I'm in, and I'm trapped. Maybe you fall into one of these four categories that I mentioned to you tonight. Maybe it's something totally different, but it doesn't matter what it is, just fill in the blank. Ultimately, you're trapped. Now, if I would have left it there, pretty sad story. Can I give you the good news? You know how they're able to get the dolphins to stop making a mud net? You want me to tell you, don't you? I can't leave you hanging. All it takes is for one boat to just sail by, go over top, actually just go right beside the mud net. And the wake of that boat will cause a disturbance and will clear up the mud. That way the fish know what's going on and they can get out safely. So basically what I'm trying to say is, all that those bait fish need is a little help from above. And it clears the water so that way they can see a way out. And know when they can see the way out that there wasn't anything there at all. It was just mud. It was just something fake. They thought they were trapped, but in actuality, they weren't trapped at all. All they needed to do was have some help from above. And what did the psalmist say? He said, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he heard me, and he came and delivered me. In all four instances of these people in the book of Psalm 107, every time they felt trapped, all they had to do was call on God, and he heard them in their distress and delivered them. Aren't you thankful we got help from above? Hallelujah. And they finish each section by saying this: oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wondrous works. Hallelujah. Some of you know what it means to have needed direction in your life, and you were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. You were wandering in the wilderness. You were isolated, thinking there was no way out. And just in time, God opened the portals of heaven, and he showed you which way to go. He gave you the answer that you needed, and you were able to make it. Hallelujah. Some of you were in the darkness of sin, in the bondage and prison, but thank God you're free tonight because he heard your cry. Some of you, because of your own wicked deeds, put yourself in a spot that you thought you could never get out of. But thank God his mercy and grace is long suffering, and he heard your cry. Some of you feel like tonight you're overwhelmed with just the stuff of the world, but I'm thankful tonight. We have help from above. And the only way to get that help is to call on him. You may feel guilty. You may feel ashamed of where you're at. And you may accept that responsibility. I'm in this place because of my own doing. That doesn't matter with God. He loves you just the same. And if you call on him, he will come to you. And the old ship of Zion will pass by and clear the way, and you can see a way out. If you need a way out tonight, I invite you to come. God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.